Okay, what's up, Jets fans? Welcome back to yet another edition of the Jetstream. Connor, I'm feeling great right now, man.
It's victory month.
I'm feeling great right now. I was in the best mood last night. I don't think my girlfriend's ever seen me that happy before. Seriously. Really? I was just so happy. Like, I went from being so sad after they got the ball back. I thought the Jets lost. I said in our chat, like, we lose. It's over. And it wasn't over, obviously.
I've seen that 100 times before.
Right. I mean, Maggie Gray, she goes, this Jets Denver game could end 100 different ways, and I wouldn't be surprised at any of them. And I go, every single person that's watching this game right now knows how this game's going to end.
Yep.
And it didn't end the way that we thought.
Because I don't know if it's like a credit to the Jets or just the Broncos being as incompetent as they are. Maybe a combination of both. But
I mean, there's definitely some incompetence with the Denver Broncos. Like when Sauce went out and they decided to run a reverse.
Oh, man. That's like... That's I don't even know where to begin with that. That
and
was
they,
like
and they
Adam
fumbled.
Gase
yeah.
level incompetence or something. I was just baffling.
So bad. Like not in your wildest dreams would you ever do that. Like, oh my god, their best player is out. Let's target the guy that's replacing him.
Let's not target the fifth string cornerback who they had to just call up from the practice squad this week.
Right. So a lot went down in this game. A lot went down. And we have a lot to talk about. So let's get right into it. First half thoughts. Slow start.
Full side. Slow start. Yeah. Ugly start.
Yeah, and it's the second week in a row with a slow start. It was worse against the Chiefs. Well, Chiefs are a little bit better than the Broncos, just a tad. Slow start. Jets get the ball on offense. And Connor, would you be surprised if I told you that it's been 650 days since the Jets have had a roughing the passer penalty go in their favor?
No, not even a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's good news because that's exactly the case. It's been like over 650 days. I don't have the exact number, but it's not sad I saw on Twitter. And it's true. There is a number out there. I don't have it. I'm not going to go back and figure out the last time that they did that. But it's been a long time. Zach Wilson almost got his head taken off on that first drive. No call. Yeah. So,
nope.
Whatever.
The refs seems like they wanted to. They must want to see Tim Boyle play quarterback. Don't know why. They must have really had it in there that they didn't really care what happened to Zach Wilson health wise. They were just like, you know, whatever. He's going to take some shots. You know?
Yeah.
Toughen the kid up, I guess.
So. Yes. So, all right. That goes on. That goes down. Like whatever. Like all you can do is laugh at that point. Like ridiculous. Special teams. Yeah, no. Special teams continues to be dominant. Seriously. Like so, Irv Charles gets called up, and he immediately has an impact. He's the one who was there to break up that play, and I don't know if he picked up the fumble, but he was like right there. Tackled the Broncos returner. And then later, like the two drives later, Thomas Morstead, his punt pinning Denver inside the 10, and that led to the safety, changed the momentum of the game. Brant Boyer continues to be the best coach on the Jets.
Zuerlein?
Yeah, Greg Zuerlein was money.
He was the Jets' big
18 fantasy points.
Yeah. I guess we left him on their bench.
Oh, you did. No, honestly, he's like a must start from now on because Jets are going to stall out in the red zone, which we'll get to every drive. So I wrote this down. Westhoff to Boyer is our Manning to Luck or Favre to Rogers.
It's true, though.
And then Thomas Morstead's the best punter the Jets have had.
Yeah.
Ever, maybe?
I mean, it just makes me kind of sick that they had him and then let him go because they felt the need to stick with Braden Mann last year. Like, it makes me physically ill considering how good Thomas Morstead is at his job. You know, he's one of the few players on the Jets that is like genuinely fantastic at their job and what they need to do.
Yeah, he is, dude. I haven't seen a Jets punter like punt the ball and have it bounce straight up in the air and backwards right into the hands of like a Jets player, like inside the 10. That doesn't happen for the Jets.
No, it's brilliant.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, special teams has been awesome. Gibson's muff wasn't great, but I think the sun was in his eyes. There was weird, the shade with the sun, the ball coming from the shade to the sun. So it was definitely weird.
Second one, not so much.
And then that opening field goal the Jets had, special teams. That was the first time the Jets had a lead all season.
First time they scored points in the first quarter too.
And yeah, I was sitting that right after. It was the first time they scored points in the first quarter. So slow start for the offense and for the defense. Opening drive. So I just watched all the highlights again. A lot of man to man on that drive, which just led to Russ using his legs. And continuously he did that in the first half. The Jets had no answer for it until they adjusted a half, which Ulbrich did a great job of doing that. Mm-hmm. So early third down again, like it just like gave me like flashbacks to Mahomes running free on third and long. And I think it's crazy to me, like you lose the Chiefs because Mahomes' legs, and you have a quarterback that you're going to face that is famous for using his legs in Russell Wilson. And you don't think to have a quarterback spy at all in the first half to make sure that he doesn't use his legs.
It's unreal.
Yeah. It's just incompetence, honestly.
He ran for that first down. And I couldn't get it through my head what that
it was third and eight.
It was third and eight.
And he ran for 16 yards.
It's insane. It's like that. It almost feels like the Jets have never, regardless of coach, regardless of whatever, it just feels like that's like one of their many Achilles heels, and that they just don't know how to stop a scrambling quarterback like when they need to.
Too soon. And... too soon.
At least we won this time around.
With the Achilles heel. Yeah. We'll get to that. So yeah, and then that drive, like short passing. Like the screen passes, there was a Jaleel McLaughlin had that there was a pitch and he almost ran for a touchdown on for like a 60 yard touchdown. And then he had a screen where like he bobbled the ball and like I thought he was going to drop it. And then he just like ran like almost like underneath it, like he was catching a fly ball, like Willie Mays almost, like just like he bobbled it and he's like, oh, and he like ran into the ball and scrambled for a touchdown.
That was like, I couldn't believe that happened. But that is a typical kind of Jets touchdown to give up.
Yeah, it's the first, like, miscommunication on the first drive, not ready to play, like, sick.
Yeah, they come out of the gate every single week, just like they weren't ready whatsoever.
I know.
And I'm kind of sick of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's both sides of the ball, you know?
It's
can't
it's,
do that next
back
week.
Back-to-back weeks now. Can't
they're going to do
week.
It. They're gonna do it because it's Philly, but
yeah,
like they can't do it next week, and it's just Philly Jaylen, is. I mean, they're 10 times better on both sides of the ball than Denver is. And
Jalen Carter is gonna rush the like he's gonna get a sack on the first play of the game and just destroy like Connor like McGovern, like he's gonna just eat him alive, or Langan Tomlinson. I'm gonna give Joe Tippmann the benefit of the doubt. He's been playing too well for me to say that he's gonna get blown up by anybody.
But he's going to eat their lunch.
He's
going to be ready. And like the rest of, you know, that rest of that Eagles pass rush is licking their chops now that they lost AVT. So
I know.
We'll get to that.
Hey, Becton played well. He was really good. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. They had that bad first drive. Then they started to figure it out. Immediately. The Jets punt. And then immediately Al Woods gets a safety. We talk a lot of shit about Al Woods and how he can't rush the passer. Well, look who's laughing now, huh?
Egg on our face.
he still can't rush the passer. I also can't say the word passer for some reason. I keep on saying passer.
Type thing.
Yeah. So yeah, that was good. I mean, the rest of the half was kind of like a slog, and both offenses started to figure things out after that safety. So there was the safety, then the Jets punted. A lot of penalties on that punt drive. It was 7-5, and penalties doomed that drive from the start. And then the defense, you know, slowed things down a little bit. The Broncos went on eight plays, 52 yards field goal. Then Jets go on 11-67 drive for a field goal. Then 11-71 for a field goal. So there was a lot of, you know, defenses bending, not breaking early. And the defenses kind of slowed things down and figured things out half ends. This is where things changed for the Jets at halftime. A lot of adjustments were made, which.
Can we talk about how the first half ended?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I had that further down in my notes.
Because the drive was cooking.
Yep.
Dak was cooking. And they were doing it. They were getting down the field. They were doing everything they needed to. And I don't even blame Zach or Uzoma for not being able to get out of bounds. Stuff like that kind of does happen regardless of intent. I could tell that, you know, Uzoma, the play was designed to get him out of bounds as soon as he caught it. But the complete lack of urgency on the offensive line, I watched the highlights, I think just like you said you did before we hopped on here. I saw the offensive line walking up to the line of scrimmage. And I must have been screaming as loud as I was yesterday. Like, I was so...
They had enough time to get to the line of scrimmage.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
They had 10 seconds. Uzoma picked up the ball, tossed to the ref, and he ran right back to the line of scrimmage, but he needed to be. Like, you can hear Matt Ryan or Tiki or whoever just being like, Zach Wilson's trying to get him together, and he's there, and then all of a sudden it hit zero. And it's like, what the hell just happened? And
yeah. Unacceptable.
That's where I felt I was like, that's a sign of a same old Jets thing. Like that, yeah. The second half is going to be bad. In fact, we get that.
That's bad coaching right there. It is. That's on Robert Saleh. Like you have to have your guys prepared in the 2 minute offense, 4 minute offense, be able to get back to the line of scrimmage to spike that ball. Unacceptable. Right. They should have had points there. They should have gone into the half. It should have been 11-13. It's completely unacceptable. I'm mad at myself that I guess I pushed this entire thing out of my brain.
You try to
just completely forget. Like, seriously, that is unacceptable. And it's also like kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, the red zone woes, which we'll talk about in a little bit. It's just you can't have that. There needs to be more urgency from everybody involved. I'm happy that TJ Uzoma was there and Zach was there. Where's the rest of the offense? How are they not at the line of scrimmage? It can't happen, and they better get addressed. Better get addressed. It's not gonna be the last time.
Hits the ground, they should have been moving.
Because you can't. The offensive linemen don't want to be ineligible downfield. Yeah, right. They need to be ready to go. Like, they hits the ground, you're off. You're off on your, and you're ready. You're getting in line and ready to. And I don't think Zach was there. Now that I'm thinking about it, Zach was like. He should have been like clapping, like, actually, hey, like, where's the ball?
I think he was kind of like even off the center.
Like, it was like looking around, like, hey, are we all set? Like, no.
Yeah. Like, no, you need to get everyone.
It's not on you to make sure that they're lined up. Everybody has their own job. You have to get to the center when he's ready and just clap for the ball.
Right.
Be there. So that was really annoying. And you're right. They were cooking. It was a really good drive. 9 plays, 67 yards in a minute 48. And like, it was weird. Like, they went on that 11 play, 67 yard drive right before that. A lot of Breece Hall. And we're going to talk about Breece plenty today because he was awesome. But I need more from him. I need more from Zach, in those situations. And I guess he really hasn't been in a lot of these situations before because the Jets, like, usually they just don't have the success that they've been having on offense the last 8 quarters.
Right.
Now he knows, like, hey, dude, like, in the 10 seconds left, you need to be able to get that snap off. Seriously. Like, that's unacceptable. So yeah, half ended, very frustrating. It felt like the Jets. It felt like the Jets left a lot of points on the board. Throughout the whole game, but in the first half, that field goal, both those field goals being in the red zone and having to settle for the field goals, that's tough. And they had first and goal at the Denver 9. They go Breece Hall left tackle for one, Dalvin Cook right end for one, then a short pass for Zach Wilson in the back left of the end zone, which I thought Garrett could have made a play on that ball, but Surtain kind of had like his hands. Tough. Yeah, so like it was tough.
I mean, they had a good battle all day.
They did.
Surtain, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
all you need to see like that was the pass at the end of the game when he picked off Zach. I mean, Surtain is
all over him.
Surtain, like he's good.
Yeah, he's great. He's amazing.
He's amazing.
Like father, like son.
It wasn't a great pass, Zach. It wasn't in the right spot. Yeah. But I mean, Surtain still made an amazing catch. But
for sure,
that's what we were expecting. You know?
Yep. Yeah, he played great. And hey, Garrett had 3 for 54 still. So, you know, that's pretty solid. All right. So, second half, Jets got a 3 and out, which just felt great. I feel like there's so many times where they come out at halftime and they're just not ready. And on that third, it was 3rd and 8. It's the same situation. Same down and distance as in the first half, and when Russ rushed for 16 yards and got the first down and, you know, got the ball down the field, and that really started their drive. This time, Tony Adams was playing safety. I mean, a QB spy at safety and was there and made the tackle. 4th and 6, they punt. So some good second half adjustments. Because, you know, I feel like screens and quarterback runs really hurt the Jets in the first half. They didn't have the quarterback spy ready. Russ almost scored on a 21-yard rush at one point near the end zone. And then Perrine had a big run off a screen. You know, there was that long run from McLaughlin. So, like, the lack of defensive adjustments the last two games early haven't been great, but it's very clear that Ulbrich is very good at making second-half adjustments. Because they shut down the Chiefs and the Broncos back-to-back weeks in the second half. I know the Broncos did move the ball in the fourth quarter a little bit, but at that point, I think the Jets felt pretty good about how they were playing. They were up 2 possessions, so they were playing a little bit more off. And then they turned it back on when they needed to at the end, when there was a 1-possession game. So, yeah, good adjustments by Ulbrich. And that was a great example of that adjustment, having Tony Adams there for the QB spy on that first play, that first drive.
Yep.
Also, something I wanted to bring up earlier. I might have mentioned this about the first half, dude. Our red zone defense is crazy. Held them for 2 field goals inside the red zone in the first half. The TD, the touchdown they scored was from 22 yards out. It wasn't the red zone. But when we're, hey, it's a game of inches.
It's a game of inches. Football's a game of inches. So, you know, that won't count against that red zone defense in the stats.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that's always, like, it's always good. Like, at one point, I think it was their first field goal they had. They had 1st and goal at the 5 after that Russ run for 21 yards. And they just shut them down. Like,
yeah,
anywhere within the 20, it feels like they know they have that boundary at their back. They're just so aggressive and so quick to the ball. And they're gang tackling. It's a really fun defense to watch, especially in the red zone. I'm really enjoying watching them because I feel like Jets defenses in the last couple of years have been solid, but like, I don't know. They just feel like they always kind of let up the big drive, the big run at the end of the game when they really, really need to stop and they just haven't been able to get it. And they've been solid the rest of the game, but it's like, oh, they're on the field for too long. They're tired.
Yeah, if the offense is playing like crap and it's, you know.
Right.
They're just exhausted by that point. It was nice to see. I mean, they didn't really take advantage of it half the time, but it was nice to see the Jets win the time of possession battle for like the first time in like I don't know, a century.
Yeah, like, no, seriously.
by 10 minutes, that. Like,
it helps when Barisa plays as well as he did. On the other side of things, the Jets struggle in the red zone, like really, really struggle in the red zone. They are the 31st ranked red zone scoring percentage team for touchdowns only, 30.77%. That's really bad.
That's brutal.
I think that number is going to go up as the season progresses. And I'll tell you why. I think Zach is getting better. I think that's pretty apparent the last 2 weeks. He's shown a lot of progress. He's not making a lot of mistakes. Yeah, but too many drives, man. They get stalled out in the red zone. It's just going to be on Zach getting more comfortable with this offense. It seems like he is. So we just need to hope that it does, because they're not going to win a lot of games if you're only scoring 30% of the time in the red zone.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it also is on the play calling in the red zone. I didn't love it yesterday. I mean, we'll also get to it. I mean, good for Hackett, good for everything that happened with him. And I'm glad he got a game ball. I'm glad they were able to shut Sean Payton up, because, you know, the unnecessary stuff that he had to say over the course of the offseason and all that nonsense. So I'm glad for that. But overall, I didn't think he called a great game, especially in the red zone. I mean, how many times did we see them in the red zone? They'd go when Breece pretty much took them all the way down the field, you know, half the time. And then they'd go run to Breece. Maybe he gets like a yard or two. Then they swap him out, and Dalvin Cook on like a second and like what would be eight goes for like 2 yards, and then they have to throw the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear we saw that like 3-4 times.
And not only that, man, like they had the run game established.
Right.
And I don't know why they just weren't using play action.
Right. It was not like Zach was playing bad.
In the Chiefs game, they wouldn't stop using play action, right, and it was working.
Right.
And then the run game wasn't even that good in that Chiefs game. And then they get the run game that they got today. You got Breece going crazy, and we're not using play action. I felt like I was losing my mind.
Yeah, it feels like there's the one very good play action towards the end of the game where Zach hit Garrett for like what 30 something yards. Amazing. Uh-huh.
That was on the left side, right? Like a kind of Garrett like slated into it.
It was kind of like an opposite field throw, but he had him like locked down. It was a great throw. And that was like the only one that I can think of like off the top of my head was that, like, and it just baffled me.
There was like a handful of others, but like none of them stood out. He did it and nothing was open, so he just checked it down. Like,
yeah, but they had 234 yards rushing yesterday. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me why there shouldn't have been more play action, especially in the red zone.
And on first down too. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. I was like, there was like a bunch of times where after a big Breece run or something, I was like, let's go. Maybe they're on like the Broncos 40 or something. I was like, yo, take a shot. Like, go for it. Like, why?
Maybe Sertan was playing that well and we just couldn't see it.
Maybe. But I mean, Zach was hitting Conklin. Conklin had the most receiving yards yesterday. He was playing like crazy. He was playing big boy football.
He was.
And it's like, you know, you hit Garrett, maybe. I mean, but that, like you said, Sertan was like all over him all game. And then you can maybe hit Conklin, but there's options. They just kind of like weren't letting him throw it.
I don't understand keeping Mecole Hardman inactive. The reason why I believe is because they're using Xavier Gibson in what they thought would be Mecole's role. A lot of Gibson is in a lot of offensive plays, running those like ghost, like reverses, you know, where he can run and credit to Hackett, ton of pre-snap motion, like almost like more than 50% of the time. Just warms my heart. Like,
I was loving it.
Seriously, it makes me so happy. Yeah.
I was like, he's doing it. He's doing it.
it's so great. And it's helping Zach. Like, overall, I think Zach played pretty dang well for Zach Wilson. In this game. Like, I know he threw that pick. I don't think that was totally his fault. Like we talked about, I think the ball placement could have been better, but overall, like, he didn't really make any mistakes. I think there was the fumble.
Well, he did fumble the ball twice, but they managed to get it back, which was good.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he played about as well as he did last year in Denver when they won.
Yeah.
Like, he pretty much had like almost like the same game. And it was almost like the same game because Breeze pulled out the big rushing touchdown. They lost AVT for the season. And Zach basically had like, you know, what you would consider if any other quarterback, like kind of like a mediocre to average game.
That's and pretty crazy. It is really the
it really was. Same game. Yeah. But anyway, like fuck Denver. So
yeah.
I hate
this. But what Zach didn't have that last year that he did this year is that little seam pass that he threw to Conklin for 37 yards, where like my dad texted me after that and was like, that was a nice throw. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, dude, that was a great, very nice throw. He stood in the pocket and he delivered a strike when he needed to. Yep. And it was between three different defenders. Very impressive throw. Mm-hmm. You know, and also that wasn't his first read. He looked left first.
Yep.
It wasn't there. Found Conklin over the middle, and then Conklin carried the whole state of Denver. the whole state of Colorado.
Who was the
21-yard line or whatever it was?
Who was the play-by-play?
Andrew Catalan.
Catalan, he couldn't believe it. He's like, he's still going. He went for like an extra like 15 yards.
We got a Mark Bavaro reference in there too.
That's right. Right.
So yeah, overall, I'm happy with how Zach played. I think that it could have been better. The red zone offense needs to be better. But if we get this type of production from the run game, that'd be really great. Just, dude, we'll get to it. I don't want to talk about ABT yet. Breece Hall is good. Breece Hall is really good. You kind of knew. So even before the game, you kind of knew it was going to be a big day for Breece because of what he did last year. What happened last year, coming back to the place where he tore his ACL, he was going to be rookie of the year. Like, he was going to be rookie of the year. He was. He was going to be rookie of the year. He was playing that well. And you just had that feeling that it was going to be a big day for him. And then he starts the game with 12 yards and 7 yards, making people miss. And you're like, okay. You're like, I got confirmation immediately, basically, that my suspicions were correct. That it would be a big Breece day. First play of the second half, he breaks off 77 yards. The fourth longest run in Jets history. They take an 18-3 lead. And Breece didn't look back because it was all Breece moving forward. It was he was amazing. Credit to the offensive line. Joe Tippmann was awesome. Becton was awesome. Becton was a gamer. Like, definitely was hurting about pain tolerance. And he played through it. He was the highest rated Jet on offense. 77.9.
I mean, I don't understand how Breece wasn't, but
I have no idea. Breece was a 73.5. He had 192 yards of scrimmage.
I don't
understand. Quincy Williams had 9 tackles, 2 sacks, pass defended, and he is not even in the top 10. Sorry, yes, he is. He's only a 74. Sauce Gardner, who, like, Sauce didn't do anything in this game. They didn't really throw his way. He had a pass defended, I think. That was it.
And he almost picked the ball off at the end of the game with that Hail Mary. Like,
yeah.
But again, we've discussed this.
He actually should have had 2 picks. When he had that pass defended on the sideline, it hit his hand.
Yeah. And I think I saw someone say, I don't know if it was on Twitter, maybe it was on the Jets Reddit. It's like Sauce Gardner actually catch the ball instead of just knocking it down challenge. Impossible.
Yeah. Seriously,
he could have a lot of interceptions that he just chooses to just swat away. I'm like, I get it. Maybe it's, you know, it's a moment thing. You're not really thinking about it, but like, yeah, come on. It's like Quincy Williams when he was like 2 years ago when he didn't know how to slow down and he'd have a guy lined up and he'd fly right past him. Because
he
just didn't know how to slow
down. I think he said, yeah, yes, he has. Yeah, so he said after the game, he was asked about like his improvement and he said that he spent a lot of time this offseason with CJ Mosley finding out how he became an All-Pro.
Right.
Very impressive. Just incredible growth. He was a waiver pickup and now he's one of like the 10 best linebackers in football.
Say that.
Like, just playing so well. very, very happy that he's playing this well. And it's cool. Like, we have both of them. We have Quinnen and Quincy. Yeah.
All right. Literal Bash Brothers.
the literal Bash Brothers. Fucking stadium. The House of Horrors, man.
It really is.
Pardon my French, but this damn stadium. Like, bro.
I don't get it.
Bro. Let's never play here again.
I feel like Benigno.
Bro.
Who said it?
What are we doing?
I think it was either NYJ Matt or Mike on Twitter that said, I'd rather have the Jets play in Afghanistan than Denver ever again. I was like, kind of. Line them up. Build a football field in Kabul. I'll watch it.
I don't really know what the Jets do now. If Dwayne Brown comes back, I don't want him at left tackle. Put him at right tackle. That's the only
position he knows.
Put him at right tackle. Like, yeah, Becton's better at left tackle.
He is.
He's playing well, so like, let's not do that. I don't know what to do, man. Like, maybe put Tippmann at right tackle and Dwayne Brown at right guard. I don't know. I don't think either of them know how to play those positions, but like, can we do it? I can do it in Madden.
Tippmann's a natural center or guard. I don't think you can just throw him out there at tackle.
I know. And Tippmann's like playing the best of them. He was playing even better than ABT was.
Right. And it's like, yeah, you can't just replace a guy like ABT again.
I know. It sucks. But you know what? Normally an Achilles injury is really lonely.
Yeah.
He's got company now.
Yep.
And I bet he gets the speed bridge too. I bet he's back. Yep. I bet he's back next season. Time.
Yep. He's going to learn. He's definitely had a conversation with Aaron Rodgers already.
Oh my God. They're going to be best friends.
Yeah. I will say if getting a win getting wins this season requires losing a player, a star player at that, to an Achilles injury, I want out. I want off this ride.
Yep.
I don't want to see my guys go down. And I want off this ride. Like, shut the season down.
Can't be having all these Achilles injuries. Yeah, we can't be having that. That'd be horrible. So, not the Jets game yesterday, but this is the same. This has to do with what we're talking about. Travis Kelce got hurt yesterday. Slipped on turf. The Swifties have discovered turf.
They have.
And they are going to war against the turf. This is what we needed, Connor.
Yes, we needed the Swifties on our side.
I love like the tweets like, can Taylor Swift date a climate scientist? Like, or can Taylor Swift date the U.S. government or like the Department of Transportation so that they can put a high speed rail in? You know, like we're gonna get artificial turf in the NFL fixed before we get the economy fixed because of the Swifties. So for all of our sakes, please, Swifties, get this done for us. We need better turf. We need rid of turf. Just make it grass, please.
You know what we really need too is we need Travis Kelce to get like, we need the Chiefs to lose like a close game on a blown Travis Kelce call that the Swifties go after the refs.
Oh yeah.
Ben will fix the officiating problem. God. And
can
we'll
you imagine?
Good.
Can and you we'll imagine like a like the what was it? The fake like the non-pass interference call against the Saints?
Oh, forget it. It'd be over. Like
the NFL the Swifties, they would march on the offices in New York.
Yeah. They'd demand Goodell's head.
Yeah. Dave Portnoy would get arrested at the thing again because he's a Swiftie too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it'd be over. I mean he'd be leading them there. And Kelly Keyes.
For those who don't know, the Barstool founder got arrested because he protested Goodell with a bunch of other Barstool people. So that's why I brought that up. Anyway, Swifties, help us, please.
Help the players too.
Yeah. All right. Other thoughts. We talked about Garrett Wilson. He's amazing, but Surtain is also amazing. So I'm not broken up about that.
It'll be a battle.
All right, let's talk about these PFF grades because these are weird. CJ Mosley led the way with a 91.2. I thought he played great. He was everywhere. He's the heart and soul of this defense. Jermaine Johnson with a 90.4. He had a sack, or he forced Russ to fumble out of bounds, I think. I don't know if he was above past the line of scrimmage already. I don't know, but that was a great play by him. Other than that, though, I didn't think oh, Jermaine's playing so well today. But you know what? I mean, good for him.
Yep.
Jamian Sherwood with an 83.3. He had a stop on in the red zone, a big stop. That definitely boosted his grade. Talked about Becton already. Quinnen with a 75.9. Tyler Conklin with a 74.7. Sauce with a 74.6. Quincy with a 74. Brees Hall, 73.5. JFM, 72.8. Bryce Hall, 72.5. He scored the game-winning touch, this game-sealing touchdown.
Yep.
Uzama had a good one, 70.7, and Zach Wilson was not on that specific list, but somebody posted in the comments, 66.3 for Zach. I read all those scores, not because I think that we need to take them seriously, but just because that's what this is a major publication that determines a lot about how players are viewed and thought of. It affects how they're paid. It affects their livelihoods, so it's worth discussing. I don't understand a lot of these.
Me neither.
Like, Brees should be at like a 90 something. Zach Wilson should be like in the 70s. Like, Quincy should be in the 80s for sure. Like, the game ceiling, they won the game for the Jets.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. I don't want to spend much more time than what we just gave them on this, but
they don't deserve it. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It just doesn't make sense, and they shouldn't have such a large impact on the industry. Anyway, some cool, interesting stats I've seen over the last day or so. Jets defense has allowed a TD on just 8 of 59 drives this season, 13.6%. It's one of the top three in the league. Shout out Joe Tippmann. He's so good already.
The mullet.
Yeah, dude. He's amazing already. We're going to need him to step up big time now that ABT is gone. And Quincy Williams is a star. Among linebackers this season, he has 23 tackles resulting in a defensive stop, which is first. He has 3 pass breakups tied for first and a 90.2 coverage grade, which is first. EA. Boost this man's rating. I want to use him. I don't use him right now. He's not fast enough. He's the fastest linebacker in the league. He said it himself. Watch the tape. Boost this man into the 80s. Please.
He's well on his way to an all-pro season.
Seriously. He's been awesome.
He really has.
He's been awesome. Anything you want to you noticed from this game that I missed?
I think one thing that was funny, I think we all got caught up in the moment, and obviously so did Bryce Hall, but shout out Bryce Hall. I don't think anyone kind of came into that game expecting a whole lot, but it's not like he was out there, you know, getting burned or anything.
Yeah, and a heads-up play at the end.
Yeah, I was nervous about the fact because the Jets play that defensive style where they'd, like, it's not like Sauce was going to stay on Jerry Jeudy the whole game and they stick to only one side of the field. So I was nervous about when Bryce Hall was going to be covering Jeudy or when he was going to be covering Cortland Sutton. And Sutton didn't get a catch till the fourth quarter. So it was nice to see Bryce Hall kind of have the impact that he did outside of just, you know, picking up the fumble at the end of the game and running in for that touchdown, which, you know, like I'm saying, you know, in hindsight, you know, you think about it, probably should have just gone down and game's over. But get up, you're a defensive player. You want to score that touchdown. Let the guy run in. Let him score that TD. So,
How many more opportunities do you see to score a touchdown, you know?
Right, exactly. So shout out Bryce Hall. I think he stepped up. I doubt he's going to, he's not going to be, I got to think DJ Reed will probably be okay, depending on how bad his concussion was, to play in Sunday's game. But if not, then he's got a pretty tough test with the Eagles. So the whole team has a pretty tough test with the Eagles, but Bryce Hall definitely does too.
Who leads the Jets in sacks?
Probably
Quills Way. No, you're wrong. Oh my God. I don't blame you for being wrong either.
I'm looking it up right now.
That can't be right.
You're making me, you're blowing my mind right now. I need to know.
no, this can't be right. He must not have enough snaps.
Why?
This can't be right. Bryce Huff is not on the list. He's not even...
He only has, like, what, 2 sacks this season? Bryce Huff?
One?
Maybe one?
No way. That can't be right.
Let's see. Yeah, he only has one. He had the one yesterday.
That can't be right. He's had a lot of sacks this season.
He's probably been in on a bunch, but they just haven't counted, or at least contributed to some happening. You know,
it doesn't. I've seen him, like, he sacked Josh Allen a couple of times. Like,
maybe that was Jermaine Johnson.
This makes no sense. Yeah, they have like one sack. How many quarterback hits? 6. That doesn't seem right, right? Like,
yeah.
He has the highest pass rush win rate in the NFL.
I mean, yeah, he only has the one. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and Quentin Jefferson is the most. 2.5.
Yeah, last week he was in fifth. With 13 wins. He has the most now. With the least plays. That's crazy. I swear I thought he had way more than that.
Great radio, by the way.
Yeah, I know. This is crazy.
I feel like Francesa.
That's pretty crazy to me.
As he's trying to change the channel.
I know, seriously. I apologize, folks. That just blew my mind. I was like, wow, like really? Like I thought that.
No, Bryce, I agree. I thought Bryce Huff was definitely had more sacks than that.
I thought he had like 4 or 5 sacks already. No, yeah. He has 1 sack. But he continues to be one of the best pass rushers that we've had.
Utterly dominant.
I feel like there's every time we need a big play, he steps up. Right. It's pretty crazy. I'm a huge fan of this defense. I think that it's the best defense we've had in a long time. And I think they're only getting better. So I got nothing else on the Broncos game. We have a game coming up this weekend that I'm not going to be able to watch. I'm going to have to watch highlights.
What do you got?
Well, I'm celebrating my girlfriend's birthday.
Oh, there you go.
Because we're going on a trip with my friends, and it's a couple's trip to Penn State, the 26th, which is her birthday. So we're going away for her birthday. So obviously I want to celebrate it at some point, and we're going to do it a couple weeks earlier. So we're going to go upstate, and it'll be fun.
On the phone move, just hide it behind a
book or something. No. She listens to this podcast. I ain't lying. I am going to be a good boy. I'm going to be a good boyfriend.
Wink.
No. I'm going to be a good boyfriend. And I'm going to watch the game another time. I'll check the score every now and then, but we're going to be upstate.
You probably aren't going to be missing much. So.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get smoked.
Then again, we said that about the Chiefs game. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, listen, it's a home game. Aaron Rodgers, I hopefully will be there. So that's going to help Zach. And their defense is not, their pass defense isn't great. So, you know, we got to, like, it's been kind of like a lot of holes over the middle, apparently. That's what I was reading about. So big day for Tyler Conklin, CJ Uzomah, and Jeremy Rucker, hopefully. I'm not expecting a lot, though. They have a crazy good pass rush.
Yeah.
And we just lost AVT. So they need DJ Reed back. They need the pass rush to really get to Hurts. You need to have a QB spy in immediately.
All the time.
The whole game. You have to. And you just play a lot of man coverage. And pray. I have a lot of friends who are going to this game. A lot of my friends are Eagles fans, so they'll be driving up the turnpike, getting nice. Here.
Well, nice.
I know, this is tough. I mean, listen, hey, all right. So I think that the expectations have shifted a little bit over the last 2 weeks, where I think everybody thinks the Jets are going to lose this game. Fine. I'm okay with that. Not even the Jets, and the Jets are going to lose this game. They will. So we're not even like, I don't want to go through matchups and stuff. Like, we're
right. And consider they might.
Yeah, like, that's not like something I care about right now.
The thing is, it's got to look like, it's got to be like the Chiefs game.
Yeah. And
put it this way, it's not going to be, I mean, as long as they don't get like smoked.
It's going to be the Denver game too.
Right. And it also just got to think, it's like the Kansas City thing could have been a disaster because of how many eyeballs were on it. It's prime time, right. Sunday night, then the whole Taylor Swift thing happens, and it's like the talk of the town, the talk of the league, and it could have gone a whole lot worse, and the Jets might have lost, but they came out of it looking better than we expected, and it looked exactly like what we needed it to be. Same thing has to happen here. You know, if you're going to go out there and you're going to lose, go out there, give them a fight. You're playing a team that's a, you know, legitimate Super Bowl contender. It's like them, the Niners, it's like them and the Niners in the NFC right now, and Kansas City, obviously, and then, you know, I don't know, the Bills and stuff like that in the AFC right now. But it's, yeah, you want to go out there, just go out there. If you're going to lose with some pride, because then you go into the bye and you got a Giants team that is
real bad.
They are.
The worst team in the league.
They're tough.
Like Panthers. Yeah, they're really bad. And Daniel Jones might be like done. I don't know, with like the neck injury. I'm not sure.
I'm not saying that to just be like mean, but the Giants look tough. They're tough.
Yeah. Like, no, they are. They're a bad football team, and their fans are aware of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to rub it. And I don't want to rub it in their faces.
Right.
I'll rub it in their faces. Even though they do it to us. Yeah. Oh yeah. When we beat them, I'll rub it in their faces. But yeah, they do it to us all the time without impunity. So yeah. You know, so, when we beat them, because we will beat them.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, we got to knock on wood for that one.
It's a Jet Giant game. It's in MetLife. The Giants are home.
You know that
the Giants are like Giant fans. They know that the season's like over, but you know that they still want to beat the Jets.
Yeah.
They still want to have that. I mean, granted, the Jets have won the last two season meetings with the Giants. So they want to go out there and they still want to beat the Jets. Like, I'm going to be at that game, and I know that I'm taking a ticket. Well, me and my dad are taking two tickets from my friend who's a Giant fan, who gave us two of his tickets. So we'll be sitting with him and like his usual group. So it'll be like miserable if the Jets go out there and just, you know, play like shit. So
yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen.
So with this game, and I'm just checking actually my work schedule. I want to be like, I work at 3 that day. I can't even go to the game. So, and that game's at 1:00. It's like one of the few 1:00 games the Jets have this part of the schedule. They have many more coming up at the end of the season. But for now, Eagles, 425, they're going to lose that one. They'll be 2-4 heading into the bye. Giants games must win. Like, you got to win that one.
Yeah.
Got to win that one if you want any chance at doing anything this season. Because then you have the Chargers at home on Monday night, and you can beat the Chargers. They're just a weird team, and the Chargers are going to charge her. And
Staley's going to outcoach himself like he always does.
So if you beat the Giants and the Chargers, you're back to 500 at 4-4. Then you go to the Raiders at 4-4 for Sunday Night Football.
That'd be tough.
And that could be tough, but I think the Raiders are pretty meh. I think the Jets can win that one, and then you're 5-4 going to Buffalo.
Yeah, and you know Buffalo's going to be out for blood that game.
And Buffalo, let's see. Buffalo has Giants, Patriots, Bucks, Bengals, Broncos, then us. Yeah, they're going to have more wins. That's not going to be for...
Yeah.
But they're going to want revenge, so I'm expecting a loss in that game. 5-5 heading to Miami. Heading home to face Miami. Then you get three games. You get Miami at home on Black Friday. And then you get the Falcons and the Texans with extra rest for the Falcons. Normal rest for the Texans. I mean, a lot of things need to go right. But I think this team there's a path for this team getting to 9 or 10 wins. And the AFC isn't exactly amazing yet. I don't think that there's a lot of... like the Bengals seem to have been figuring things out. Joe Burrow seems to have figured something out this past week. Maybe he's not as hurt anymore. But I like some of these teams, like the Steelers aren't good. The Ravens wide receivers can't catch. You know, the Browns lost Nick Chubb. I don't know what to make of the Bills or the Dolphins yet, because sometimes the Dolphins have the best offense ever, and then they face the Bills and they can't do anything. And we beat the Bills, so I don't even know. Like, I need to see us face them, see like really like what it's going to be, because their defense isn't anything special at all.
Because I mean, look at the defense. They held the Chiefs. Granted, the Chiefs, like, you know, outside of Kelsey, the Chiefs don't really have like scary weapons. Outside of like, you know, scary like skill position weapons. I'm not talking about
Mahomes. Sky Moore and like,
yeah, you know, like, you know, they're containable. But the Dolphins are another ball game. Dolphins got Tua and he can fling it. And they got Tyreek and they got Jalen Waddle. And now they got, what's his name? Achane. Is that how you say his last name?
Achane. But he might be hurt, which is my fantasy team. So.
Damn it.
Yeah. And Mostert might be hurt. And it's going to hurt another fantasy team. So I don't even know what to do anymore.
Anyway. You want to go into that matchup, but like you said, there's a path to this team getting 9 or 10 wins, but a lot is going to be like, you know, made of what this team exactly is with Zach Wilson as the quarterback over the next couple of weeks, because it was at this point of last season where Wilson was the quarterback, but the team was humming. They were on the 5-game winning streak like during this portion of the season. So we really, you know, we bought into that team thinking that, you know, oh Jesus, like this team is for real. Like they were getting ranked in like top 5 power rankings at one point. Like team, like people were going crazy. We all were. And then, you know, everything happened. But this is where we kind of have to really figure it out. And I think the team as a whole will really figure it out over these next couple of games. Like you said, the Eagles game, kind of writing that off. It's fine. Whatever.
But I still want Zach to play well this game. Like, I want him to. No, I know you're not saying that. It's just like, he has to keep on stacking solid games.
Yeah.
Keep the confidence growing.
Exactly.
I think the Rodgers effect is going to be real. I hope.
And he said he's coming back.
I really hope.
I think he said he's coming back to Jersey. I think he said like permanently after the bye. I think is what he said.
Cool.
Or at least he'd be in the facility more. I don't know, but it would be
Aaron,
nice to have
do what you need to do. Aaron, do what you need to
do. What you need to do. But I mean, we want you back. We want to see you working.
Yeah.
We want Big Brother to be in the building and helping him out. You know, you're obviously walking around kind of, but it's not like you can't be like just hobbling around in the practice field with him, watching his footwork and watching his throws and stuff, you know?
Yep. Hey, listen, it's his idol. Like I said last week, it's his idol. It needs him around.
Bro.
Needs him around. Bro. I know. All right. Eagles is probably going to be a loss, but we want them to play well, play hard. Yeah. Please show up. All right. Anything else, my friend?
No, I'm feeling good. Like you said, just
great week. It's going to be a good week.
Think so?
Yeah, it's gonna be a good week.
Feel good.
Just like the rest of the week until Sunday, and then we'll find out if next week's gonna be good.
Yeah, then Sunday, you know, I'm a nervous wreck, and I feel
we're winners this week.
I feel sick to my stomach, like from like 1 to 4, because all I can think about is like the Jets embarrassing themselves on national TV. Then 4 to 7, I'm also a nervous wreck. So like 6 hours I carve out on every Sunday of just being like, you know, a miserable human. But maybe the Jets can turn around and make me a happy person on Sunday.
God, 3-3 heading into the bye would be
pretty sweet.
Not expecting it though. But
also, I'm not expecting it because guess what? The Jets have also never beaten the Eagles.
Yes, they're 0-12 against them all time.
And it's quite statistic. So, yeah. Well, streak's got to end sometime though. Why not Sunday?
Why not Sunday? All right, man. Where can they find you on social media?
Find me at Connor, Connor, _ Sheeran, Sheeran.
You can find me at Jesse Finver, Jesse, F as in Frank, I, N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, ER. Boom. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. You're going to have to carry the load next week because I'm not going to be watching the full game. So maybe we'll get a guest on. I can ask. You can guess the highlights.
You can tell us the stories from your trip.
Yeah, like exactly. That. Perfect.
If they play particularly bad, we can make it a recap of your trip pod.
Perfect. All right. Sounds good. All right, folks. Peace.